It's great to have you with us. We're doing Miracle Signs and Wonders as a series because we're passionate about trying to stir up an expectation that is appropriate for the King of God, King of Kings, the God that we serve. Today's sermon is called The God of the Breakthrough. I'm very jazzed about the sermon. I like this. We started the series last week by looking at the God of miracles, and we realized that those who seek God, earnest seekers, discover great treasures. That God responds to those who draw near to him. He responds to the thirsty, to the hungry, to those who seek, because that is foundational to our faith. God rewards diligent seekers, and when it comes to miracles, if you diligently seek, you will find. But we realize that miracles must always testify about Jesus, and if it's not testifying about Jesus, and if he's not the focus, don't follow after them, because I've seen a lot of people trying to do a lot of stuff, but they're trying to do it so that their ego can be stroked or they can be centered, and I did not give my life to them. I gave my life to the King. My service is to him. So every time you see somebody pushing Jesus as central and taking attention to him and bringing him honor, that's the kind of miracles we're looking for. We realize that God's miracles are both prolific, which means he does them all the time, and there are thousands and thousands of them, and they are provocative. In other words, God's always designed a miracle to cause repentance, a change of the way we think. God doesn't just give a miracle to slake a need in a specific set of circumstances, but built into that miracle is the upgrade, because he wants not only to bless you now, but to upgrade you to a different level so that you can walk from there onwards. The greatest impact of God in your life needs to now be the floor that you stand on to reach for higher things. That's the intent of a miracle. It's never an intention that you have these peaks, these spikes of a moment with God, and you drop back down to a place where you don't experience the power of God. That's not the intent of the miracle. So if you miss the real power and the impact of a miracle is to elevate your lifestyle and change you. Miracles are designed to cause repentance. And then we looked at who miracles serve, what miracles teach, and how we should respond to them. I'd recommend, if you didn't listen to that message, to go and have a look. But today I want to talk about the God of the breakthrough, the God who loves to break through and break down the enemy. And there is an element of victory and fire and destruction about God. And so I think many people know this idea of Jesus, that he is the gentle, meek, and mild, humble servant come to lay down his life for everybody, and that he is who he manifested himself to be. Jesus could be the servant of all because he is humble and gentle of heart, and we do find rest for our souls. But Jesus is no longer the humble servant. He is now the exalted King, seated at the right hand of the Almighty God. He is the Lord of all, and every knee is going to bow down before him. So when he moves today, he's not coming just to be criticized and ostracized and whipped and beaten. When he comes back the second time, he's coming back crowned the King of Kings and crowned in glory. So many people have an idea of a humble, broken Jesus, but I want to ask you, have you known the warrior God? Because sometimes you have to catch in your spirit a revelation of God as a warrior. Not W-O-R-R, W-A-R-R. God doesn't worry about anything, but he does war from time to time. Let me put up some scriptures. I could keep you all day on this concept. I'm just going to, for the next few minutes, just massage this revelation. Hopefully some of you who have not yet caught this by revelation can capture some of the dimensions of God as a warrior, and it change the way you live your life. Exodus 15, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name, the Almighty, Yahweh. Self-existent God. That God is a warrior. Psalm 76, the Lord awoke as from sleep, as a warrior wakes from the stupor of wine. Isaiah 42, love this one. The Lord will march out like a champion, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry. He will triumph over his enemies. I don't know if there's anyone in this room who has actually gone into battle where you could lose your life. I'm not talking about a paint gun day. I'm talking about real bullets, real war, life and death. I have, been with men, I've trained men who've gone into battle. The guy who slept in the bed next to me got a Medal of Valor for what he did on the battlefield. When you it's a different mode when you're going out to battle. When you're actually going out to battle and bullets will be flying, you begin to look at the men around you and you start to trust in them and you check one another's weapons and you make sure you have enough ammunition because this is not a game we're playing, and you stir up your zeal and you psych one and you get ready. And then you charge into a hailstorm of bullets. There's something that needs to be stirred if you're going to be a warrior. And the Bible says God will stir himself up like a warrior. Have you ever met God in that mode? Determined, stirred up to war. Jeremiah, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. When I was in the military, two guys befriended me. I don't know how. I was the only believer. They hung to me. Neither of them were believers. This guy had killed a guy in a bar fight, and he knocked out a few others. And he was under a suspended sentence for manslaughter, and he wasn't allowed to fight with closed fists. The judge said, "You know, 6'4" square, with attitude." The other guy was a third Dan karate expert, and we went out once and I saw him take out a guy much twice his size. And we walked around together, and I was never bothered. And no one ever picked a fight with me. No one ever messed with me. I had two other friends, and they were both above 6'4". So the five of us walk around. Nobody messed with us. Jeremiah said, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. There's something, when you catch this in your spirit, God Almighty is with me, and he's exercising himself as a warrior. Battling with issues doesn't worry you anymore. Come on, bring it on. Come on. The Bible says he's both a warrior and he acts like a warrior. And there is an aspect to the nature of God that is powerful and warlike. He is gentle with us, but he is a warrior against his foes. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about things. I'm talking about lack. I'm talking about unbelief. I'm talking about hatred. God is a warrior. He stirs himself and will come against some things. So too many people know the gentle Jesus, but not enough know the Jesus who is a warrior. And he is a glorious God, the master of the universe, the great king forever, supreme over all, master over all, whose word, the Bible says in Jeremiah, is like a war club. It smashes the rocks in pieces. Zephaniah 3. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but he will rejoice over you with singing. Jesus, when he was reading the prophecy that God had made, he said, he rolled up, opened the scroll, and he proclaimed this. Jesus stopped short. But the scripture says, the Spirit of the Lord is on you, and one of the things is on you to declare is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to proclaim Jubilee and the day of the vengeance of God. Jesus stopped short. Jesus read that piece and he stopped short of the vengeance of God. But Jesus said, I'm here to proclaim the Lord's favor. But the truth is, when Jesus comes and steps into our life, then he comes to proclaim to us the year of the Lord's favor, and to the enemy, this is the day of the vengeance of God. And they're the same thing, two sides of one coin, the favor of God on his people and the destructive power of God against his enemies. There is a judgment, there is a stirring, there is a warfare towards what is evil. It's good news. So we have to catch a vision in our spirits of that kind of God, of the warrior God. The Holy Spirit is the kindest person I've ever met, but he's also the most awesome warrior I've ever met in the same person. That's very nice. Because he's not a warrior against me. He's a warrior for me when I cooperate with him. C.S. Lewin, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, a little girl is talking about meeting Aslan, the king, and then the beaver is explaining to her that Aslan's not a man, he's a lion. And she goes, Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe? Said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about being safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. Sometimes we have to get that God's not safe, but he is good. He is powerful. He is glorious. He is amazing. Jesus is awesome and powerful. His voice is like the sound of the Niagara Falls, the Bible says. The sound of glorious rushing waters. And his glory is unfathomable. His eyes are like blazing fire. Nothing that he has created can stand against him. And sometimes he's going to summon his zeal. And he's going to break out against injustice and evil. And he comes with a great destructive power to rescue and to save, to uproot and to restore truth, humility, and justice. This is what he comes. He mounts the cherubim. He rides out to do battle. God eventually gets to a place where he says, enough. It's going to destroy something. Psalm 45. Gird your sword on your side, you mighty one. Clothe yourself with splendor and majesty. In your majesty, ride forth victoriously in the cause of truth, humility, and justice. Let your right hand achieve awesome deeds. Let your sharp arrows pierce the hearts of the king's enemies. Let the nations fall before your feet. We don't always realize the passions of God that are stirred by events on the earth. We don't have the revelation of the God who rides the heavens to save us. David had that revelation. David said, I was in a bind. I was in the depths of despair, and I cried out, and my cry reached his ears, and he stood up from the throne, and fire came out of his, and he grabbed the cherubim, and he rode the cherubim to the earth, and he strode the earth, and the mountains trembled, and the seas parted at his touch, and he stooped down, and he picked me up out of the mud and the mire. See, you have to have that idea of who God is. There is a violence to the King of Glory, and his passion and his violence are enacted towards you on your behalf. We too often fall prey to the idea that God is disinterested and unmoved, too distant and too holy to get involved in our immediate and messy world. But he isn't. He is Emmanuel. And so God every now and again says, that's enough. I'm done. And he comes determined to right injustice. He comes mighty to save, determined to act swiftly, riding the clouds, like a pent-up flood. Isaiah 59:19 is a lovely scripture. It says, from the west people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. Sometimes God comes like a pent-up flood. You ever seen a river come down in flood? It comes with a roar. It comes breaking things. It drags trees and houses. It pushes things. It comes unstoppable. Sometimes God comes like a pent-up flood. So don't languish in the doldrums of hopelessness. Like there's nothing that can be done because of your circumstances. There's no breakthrough that can happen for me. There's no miracle. This miracle I'm trusting God for is taking time. It must not be his will. No, sometimes God comes like a pent-up flood. And he'll breathe his spirit. It's like the breath of God is driving this thing. So when you call to him in truth, his love for you is going to move him. Sometimes he comes as a glorious warrior before whom no one can stand. He's mighty to save, fearful to face. As the scripture says, it's an awesome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So if you capture that picture, if you can just settle that, the Lord is with me, is a mighty warrior. You can reconcile that. The God with me is a mighty warrior. Sometimes he stirs his zeal, as a warrior does, to go out to battle. But he's not battling you, and he's not battling other people. But God raises himself, rouses himself to do battle. When that is the case, if you believe that, if you settle that in your spirit, here's the next thing. I give you a truth. I tell you, I give you a key. Alignment brings breakthrough. You want to experience the God of the breakthrough, you have to create alignment between him and you. David had a checkered history with the Philistines. David had killed Goliath, who was the Philistine champion, and had routed the Philistine army and was hailed in songs and was known. He was famous not only in Israel, but in Philistia, and they knew who David was. And then Saul hounded David and chased him and chased him and chased him after many years, and everybody knew the story. David ran to the Philistines and asked them for help, and so they gave him space, and David allowed them to think that he was hurting and injuring the Israelites, and so the Philistines let him stay, and they believed that he'd made himself so noxious to the Israelites that they'd never have anything else to do with him. But then when Saul died, the Israelites came back and said to David, would you be our king? And so first he's the king of Judah, but then he's made the king of all Israel. And when he's made the king of all Israel, the Philistines, that's a step too far. They just go, we're done. And so they come with their entire army to seek out David to kill him. And so let's take you to Chronicles 14 and let's read the story, because it's the first time where God reveals himself as the God of the breakthrough, the God who breaks out against his enemies. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went out to meet them. Now the Philistines had come and raided the Valley of Rephaim. The Valley of Rephaim means the Valley of the Giants or the Valley of Troubles. So David inquired of the Lord, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? And the Lord answered him, go, I will deliver them into your hands. So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, as waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand. So that place was called Baal Perazim. Baal means the Lord. Perazim means the breakthrough, the Lord of the breakthrough. The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. God breaks out like a flood against David's enemies. But notice that David says, God broke out against them like a flood by my hand. In other words, David had to walk out. He had to cooperate with God. He had to take up his sword. He had to put on his armor. He had to ride out to the battle. He had to work the strategy that God had given him. And then when he stepped out, God created a groundswell. It looked to David like somebody had opened up, had blown up a dam wall, and this water just came rushing out. His enemies were just decimated in front of him. He said, like a flood, God decimated them. He broke out against them. It looked to David like a flood exploded in front of him. But I love the fact that he said, by my hand. And I just want to say to you that if you want to see God break out, if you want to see the flood of God just break out against what stands against you, bring yourself into alignment with what God is doing. And when you take that first step, because God's not going to, you sit down there, let me do it. No, he goes, come, let's go and destroy this enemy. Come on. And that you're going to have to take the first step. You're going to have to hold up your sword. And when you do, God will break out against them. Once more, the Philistines raided the valley, so David inquired of God again, and God answered him. Do not go directly after them, but circle around them and attack them in front of the poplar trees. And as soon as you hear the sound of marching in the top of the poplar trees, move out to battle, because that will mean that God has gone out in front of you to strike down the Philistine army. So David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Giza. This is fascinating to me. He says, listen, Dave. David says, what should I do? God says, wait here, go around here, meet me there at the poplar trees, and wait. And when you hear the sound of an army marching on the top of the poplar trees, then go out to battle. Because when you hear that sound, I want you to understand what that sound means is that God has gone out. Listen to this. Because that will mean that God has gone out in front of you to strike down the Philistine army. So when David heard that, David started to go out. And then the Bible says of them, they struck down the Philistine army. Who's the they he's talking about? I used to think it was David and his men, but actually what it's talking about is God and David. They struck down the enemy. That's pretty cool. We have to stand up and be counted on. We have to name the enemy, and we have to stand against the enemy, and we have to choose sides, and we have to declare a war. When we align ourselves with God, He can show up and be decisive. But if we cling to or make covenants or agreements with our enemies, then God has to work to destroy them while preserving us. If too many people in the church seem to me to be clinging to their enemies and saying, God, deliver me from this enemy. If I had a rocket launcher, which are fun to shoot, when you put a rocket in, you have the sights, and you're looking for something, and I see, whoo, there's the enemy, and I lock and load, and then I see my daughter run up and hug him. Honey, yeah, step away. When I want God to break out in my life, I have to ensure that alignment is in place. If I align myself with Him, then He can break out against whoever's resisting me. If I align myself with whatever's resisting me, then God cannot break out against them for fear of breaking out against me. Remember Korah's rebellion when Korah decided, who does Moses think he is and who does Aaron think he is? I think I should be high priest. And so Moses said, well, come, let's talk about it. He goes, I don't even recognize your authority to call a meeting. I'm not coming. So Moses said, okay, bring you. And all those 250 guys who aligned themselves, all the rebels, come, bring census tomorrow and we'll see what the Lord does. And so they all show up and the Lord says, listen, Israel, listen up. If you're with Moses, then back away. Let's go to number 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So they moved away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram had come out and were standing with their wives and their children and their little ones at the entrance of their tents. And as soon as he finished saying all of this, the ground under them split apart and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all those associated with Korah together with their possessions. Okay, you guys, where's the 250? Yeah, you guys stand there. Korah, you guys, okay. Everybody, just back away from them. And the moment they backed away, the ground swallowed them. Boop. And the fire came out of the presence of God and killed the 250 men who had little censers with them. And God said to Aaron, now pick up the censers, and I want you to take that, and I want you to cover the altar, the first piece of equipment, the first piece of furniture that you came to in the temple. I said, I want you to cover that with the censers of these men because I want this testimony in Israel. By the way, I get to choose the high priest, not you. If you want God to break out, make sure that you're in alignment with Him and not with the enemy. I'll tell you the truth. Because, why hasn't God broken out? Why hasn't God showed up? Well, because you're still buddies with Him. You're still linked arms. The weapons we fight with have divine power. They can demolish strongholds. They crash things. They demolish. They break down. They make them dust, and then they blow them to the wind. We're not fighting with little weapons. We're fighting with destructive things. We can destroy things in the spirit. Just make sure that you're not there. When David killed Goliath, there were four other giants that were killed by David's men throughout his lifetime. And you know the giant whose name means the one who strips people bare by mockery and arrogance, arrogant mockery of others. You know who that giant was killed by? That giant was killed by the guy whose name means the one who stoops low to serve an inferior. You know why? Because that guy, when that giant came, he said, that giant has nothing in me. We're not allied at all. I'll take him. You guys sit down. I got this one. Come here. He's in alignment. He's in alignment with the kingdom. So that giant has no hold on him. Has no fear about it. We could go on. Isaiah 28. We're almost there. Not long. Just a few more scriptures and we'll wrap it up. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I'm going to lay a stone in Zion, a precious cornerstone, speaking about Jesus, for a sure foundation, and the one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. And I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. And hail will sweep away the refuge. And water will overflow your hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled. And your agreement with the realm of dead was not stand. This is a prophecy against Ephraim, against the nation of Israel. Because Israel had been in apostasy. They'd been serving other gods. And they'd been taken away in captivity. And now Ephraim was going the same way. And while Hezekiah was the king at this time, who was a good king, behind his back some people had gone, because the Assyrians were threatening them. And so they'd gone to Egypt and they'd made a covenant with Egypt. They said, we've got a covenant with death. It's okay. We're not worried about the Assyrians because we ran off and made a covenant with Assyria. And God was offended because they didn't come to him and say, could you protect us? They went back to their slave masters, the previous slave owners, and they said, would you guys protect us? Our God is not strong enough to do it. So would you guys help us? And they made a covenant with them. And God said, you know what? You guys have made a covenant. You have aligned yourself with previous taskmasters, and I come to destroy, and I've demonstrated that I can destroy when Sennacherib, I can do this, but you guys have wimped out and you've gone and made a covenant with death. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to destroy that covenant with death. And he says, as often as the scourge sweeps by, you will be beaten down by it. And as often as it comes, it'll carry you away. Morning by morning, day by night, it will sweep through. And the understanding of this message will bring sheer terror. The bed is too short to stretch out on, the blanket too narrow to wrap around you. For the Lord will raise himself up as he did at Perazim. So this is the scripture where God says, remember what I did with David? I'm going to do it again. Except this time, because you've allied yourself with the enemy, I'm going to do it to the enemy and to you. Isn't that an awesome, horrible prophecy? I will raise myself like I did at Perazim, Baal Perazim, where I broke out. And I'll raise myself like in the Valley of Gibeon, second time, to do this work, a strange work, to perform this task, this alien task. Now, when you're in Christ, God never, ever, 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 ever works against you because you're in Christ. He always works for you. I'm just giving you the scripture to illustrate the principle of alignment. God wants us aligned with him and not aligned with the enemy. So when we start to pray, God, break out, it's important for us to get alignment correct so that God can break out and demonstrate his power. God will bring forth power. God will come like a pent-up flood. God will lay waste to the enemy that stands against you when you align yourself with him. So the scripture says in James 4, in closing, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Your alignment is out because you made the choice of an ally that doesn't please me. Do you think the scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit that he has caused to dwell in us, or the spirit who dwells in us jealously longs for the call of God, for the passion of God, for the devotion to God? But he gives us more grace. Why? The scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will run screaming from you. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will run screaming from you. Get your alignment right. And when your alignment right, when your submission is right, when you're clear about who your Lord is, you can stand against things that he doesn't like. So let me make application and then we're going to pray this prayer and trust God to be the God of the breakthrough in the circumstances of your life and in mine. If we're going to make an application, I want to say number one, declare yourself, choose a side. Declare yourself. You have to say to some people, I am not your friend, I am not your ally, I do not stand with you, I do not agree with you, I say no. That is not me. Sometimes you have to create a little space between you and the tents of Korah. Sometimes the Lord has not destroyed them because you're standing on the ground that is supposed to open up. Back up a little, honey. I hear in the spirit. Back up a little. Create a little space. I want to break out, but I don't want to break out against you. So declare yourself. Choose a side. Create alignment. Number two, listen for God's counsel. David didn't just walk out to a battle. He listened. He inquired of the Lord, what should I do? The Lord said, go. This time he said, don't go straight. Go around the back. Wait. Wait till you hear this sound. When you hear this sound, then go. Well, why couldn't he just go, I don't know. I just know that the Lord told him to do that. And I just want to guarantee you, some of us who've been waiting for breakthrough, go, oh, I've been waiting for breakthrough for the longest time. I think some of it has been alignment issues. Some of it has been the Lord going, whoa, whoa, whoa. We're going to go get him, son. We'll go get him, child. Just hang on. Just listen to me. Thirdly, God is going to break out by your hand. So you have to step out. This means he's not going to let you sit down and do it in a distance. He's going to say, come with me. Now take a step. And that first step is a step of faith. It's not hard to take a step, but when you're facing an enemy that seems superior to you, and the Lord has said, don't worry, I'll give them to you, that first step is a step of faith. That first step proves, okay, I'm believing you. That first step is a doozy. It's at God breaks out at the tip of your sword by your hand. Well, I've been praying for a long time and God hasn't done anything. What did he tell you to do? Well, he told me, well, I can't do that. The breakthrough comes by your hand. His power, your hand. So, I'd like to close in the little time that I have left praying a prayer. It's a simple prayer. Really is this, Lord, I'm choosing to align. I'm submitting myself to you. I'm annulling any covenant, any agreement I have with anything that's not right. I'm out of here. I'm backing up. I'm going to create some space between me and them. I'm going to let it be known. I'm not for that. I'm not standing with that. That's got nothing to do with me. I do not agree with that. No. Not many scriptures on this verse. Paul said to the Corinthians, I hear that there are divisions among you. No doubt there have to be divisions among you to see which of you have God's approval. That's for another message. Let's create a little distance. Let's choose a side. Let's listen for the Lord's counsel. I think the Lord's going to give some wisdom this week. And then I dare you to take a step of faith towards it. So if you have a need, if you go, I need the God of the breakthrough. I need God to break through. I've been facing something. I don't care what it is. Maybe in your relationship with the Lord, maybe your relationship with others, maybe in terms of provision, maybe health, maybe breakthrough. And maybe some of you need to pray the prayer of Jabez, Lord, expand my territory and bless me indeed. I don't know what it is, but whatever breakthrough you need, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm standing too, and I'm going to pray a prayer. That's the end of it. All right, here we go. Father, you see us standing. We've come, Lord, to Baal Perazim. We've come to this place, Lord, the valley of giants, the valley of pain, the valley of suffering, Lord. But we want to change its name. We want to make this, Lord, this place that was a place of challenge and suffering, we now want to make it, Lord, the God of the breakthrough. We want to rename this place, Lord. So I'm asking in Jesus' name, Father, as we decide, we are aligning ourselves with you. We take a step back, Lord, from anything from this world, but we align ourselves with you. We agree with your word, Lord. It says, submit yourself to God. So here we are, Lord, submitting ourselves to you. And we resist the evil one, Lord. Now we're praying, Lord, I pray that during this week you would give wise counsel, that you'd open up ears, Lord, and eyes, and that, Lord, supernaturally there'd be just an explosion of wisdom points this week. I pray that, Lord, in the next 2 days, people would just hear things in dreams, in visions, through the word and through friends, Lord. I just explode, Holy Spirit, with wisdom and your counsel so that we may hear what the Lord is saying to us. And then, Lord, I pray for courage to take that first step and the next one after it, that as we walk forward to the battle, break out, Lord, break through. And I pray, Lord, for a supernatural explosion. I pray, Lord, that you'd give to us the same miracle you gave to David, that we would witness the breath of the Lord driving a pent-up flood against our enemies. Lord, that which has taunted us and that which has raided us and that which has threatened us for many, many years, be the God of the breakthrough. And Lord, we agree together and we trust you for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.